When Elon Musk declares self-driving cars basically a solved problem, or Mark Zuckerberg claims algorithms know you better than your spouse, it's easy to believe we're witnessing the dawn of an AI revolution that will render human judgment obsolete. But are we? In How to Stay Smart in a Smart World, Gerd Geigerenzer cuts through the technological hyperbole with refreshing clarity. What makes this work particularly valuable isn't a dystopian warning about technology, but a balanced view of where machines excel and where human judgment remains indispensable. The book has become something of a stealth phenomenon among Silicon Valley executives who publicly tout AI's limitless potential while privately implementing its warnings. Why? Because it reveals the fundamental limitations of artificial intelligence that no amount of computing power can overcome. AI excels in environments with clear rules, stable patterns, and abundant data, like chess or Go. However, it struggles with uncertainty, ambiguity, and unpredictability, conditions that characterize most human challenges. This stable world principle explains why algorithms dominate board games yet fail with dating recommendations or predicting criminal recidivism. In chess, a position's profile is exactly the position itself. But in dating, a profile isn't the person. Personalities evolve, and chemistry can't be reduced to data points. This distinction mirrors economist Frank Knight's separation between risk, known probabilities, and uncertainty, unknowable futures. AI's celebrated victories, Watson winning Jeopardy, AlphaGo defeating champions, all occurred in well-defined games with fixed rules. Even AlphaZero, which learns without human input, remains specialized for games with known rules and can't transfer its skills to driving or matchmaking. Similarly, facial recognition works for controlled authentication but produces 93% false positives when screening crowds. The more defined and stable a situation, the more AI outperforms humans. But in the messy realm of human affairs, algorithms often fail dramatically, as witnessed in the 2008 financial crisis and 2016 election predictions. Our minds fundamentally differ from AI in how we understand the world. We build causal models and recognize that images represent real things without being those things. A child quickly learns a photo of an apple isn't edible, while neural networks merely associate images with labels. The difference becomes evident in our errors. Humans make calculation mistakes and fall for optical illusions, errors that would baffle AI. Conversely, neural networks make counterintuitive mistakes that perplex us. Networks misclassify handwritten numbers with imperceptibly distorted pixels, seeing a clear 7 as a 3. Yet they can correctly identify about half of extremely noisy images that humans can't decipher. They handle random noise better than we do, but struggle with systematic pixel changes. Unlike humans who break recognition into meaningful subtasks, identifying edges, shapes, and objects, neural networks focus on statistical patterns without conceptual understanding. They can identify a guitar based on wavy brown and white stripes without comprehending what a guitar actually is or its function. Big data's promise often falls short in unstable, dynamic environments. While astronomy's Carte du Ciel successfully mapped millions of stars in a stable system, today's applications face phenomena that change unexpectedly. Geigerenzer challenges the assumption that more data yields better predictions, arguing that less can be more. Simpler algorithms with fewer data points often outperform complex ones. Google Flu Trends demonstrates this limitation. Initially celebrated for predicting flu outbreaks faster than the CDC by analyzing 50 million search terms, it failed during the 2009 swine flu pandemic. When engineers increased complexity from 45 to 160 search terms, the system overestimated flu cases for 100 out of 108 weeks between 2011-2013. The recency heuristic, predicting this week's flu cases will equal last week's, outperformed Google's algorithm using just one data point, achieving a mean error of only 0.20 percentage points versus Google's 0.38. These fast and frugal heuristics have outperformed complex algorithms across domains, from consumer purchases to predicting heart attacks, repeat offenders, sports results, and elections. Even Nobel laureate Joseph Stiglitz found the recency heuristic better predicted consumer demand than sophisticated models. Imagine a coffee house offering free coffee while secretly recording conversations and surrounding you with salespeople making personalized offers. These salespeople, not you, are the actual customers. This describes Facebook's business model perfectly. Social media could operate healthier with a fee-for-service model like Netflix, where users pay directly. Instead, your attention becomes the product being sold, with engineers and psychologists working to maximize your screen time. A subscription model would reduce data collection but generate less profit. Despite Western criticism of social credit systems as Orwellian, privacy attitudes are shifting. In surveillance-sensitive Germany, acceptance of social credit systems more than doubled from 9% to 20% between 2018 to 2019, as people grow accustomed to tracking via smartphones and smart devices. Meanwhile, data brokers like Axiom and Oracle Data Cloud compile extensive profiles on hundreds of millions globally. Axiom alone has collected health data on 250 million consumers, including medical histories and location data. These profiles, containing up to 3,000 data points per person, are sold to banks, insurers, healthcare providers, and governments. Facebook's like button transforms social media by offering simple, countable units of positive reinforcement, perfect for operant conditioning. Neuroimaging confirms that receiving likes activates the same brain regions as rewards like food and money. While traditional mail created fixed interval reinforcement, social media delivers unpredictable notifications 24/7, producing constant checking through intermittent reinforcement, the same mechanism that makes slot machines addictive. Your smartphone impairs cognition even when you think it doesn't. Research shows that the mere presence of smartphones reduces cognitive performance. Students with phones in another room scored 20% higher on attention and working memory tests than those with phones on their desks. Those most dependent on their devices suffered up to a 30% reduction in cognitive capacity. Digital attachment has reached striking levels. 2/3 of American adults sleep with phones beside their beds. Nearly half would choose their phone over sex for a year if forced to decide. And 3/4 self-identify as addicted, with the average person touching their phone 2,617 daily. Staying smart today requires understanding where machines excel and where human judgment remains essential. Neither blindly trusting algorithms nor rejecting technology outright. This balanced approach helps us benefit from technology while preserving our autonomy. We should resist technological paternalism while embracing technology's benefits by maintaining our skills despite automation, understanding digital platforms' business models, and demanding algorithmic transparency. Digital literacy means questioning who creates algorithms, what motivates them, and how they might fail. Professional fact-checkers practice lateral reading, investigating creators and funding sources rather than trusting self-descriptions, cross-referencing multiple sources, and recognizing that algorithms can perpetuate biases. Instead of accepting surveillance capitalism, we should demand business models that respect privacy and autonomy, such as fee-for-service approaches that don't require surrendering personal data. True intelligence means knowing when to trust machines versus yourself. The future belongs to those who understand both the power and limitations of digital tools, and use that understanding to make wiser, more human choices.